Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
Listen, if you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Yes, we are still in Matthew chapter 6. We are still talking about the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' very first sermon that He gave in His ministry, the one where He sat on a hill or stood on the hill, I don't know, I've seen it both ways, but He stood up there or sat there and He taught the people and He did the Beatitudes, blessed is the poor, blessed is the meek. And He went through all of those. He went through all of that kind of stuff. And then He also came in and He gave warnings. Everybody say warning. Anybody remember that old show, Lost in Space? Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, warning, warning. That's what Jesus was doing. He was issuing some warnings. Once again, keep in mind that Jesus started this entire section in chapter 6 with a warning in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. And He goes on to give warnings about three activities. Everybody say three activities. Three activities. Very simple. Be warned when you give and when you pray and when you fast. Those three things. The reason why He picks those three things out is because they are very basic godly principles that we are taught all throughout the Bible. How to give in a proper way. How to give of ourselves, how to give of our treasures. They used to do the three T's, the time, treasure, and talent. How you give your time, your treasure, and your talent. And be good stewards of that. And He gave a warning about that. We talked about that last week when we talked about the joy of giving. Sometimes, and listen, I don't know about y'all, but I don't like to spend money. Anybody with me? I had to spend money to take down a couple of trees out of my house, or not out of my house, but that would have been really bad, but out of my yard this past week. Did y'all know that they were that expensive? I'm not going to tell you how much, but it was just crazy how much they charged to take down the trees. Now, granted, I'm not the one hanging up there like a monkey, and I'm good with paying that. But the thing is, as I paid that money, I'll admit it, I hated doing that. I was not a cheerful giver that day. I was not a cheerful giver, but I tell you, every single Sunday when I come in here, every single time that I have my tithe on an automatic draft where it automatically comes out of my account. You know why? Because I don't want my flesh to get in the way. My tithe automatically comes out, and every time it goes out, every time I see that report, you know what? I smile a little bit. Because I get to sow seed into the kingdom. I get to be a cheerful giver. Last week we talked about the joy of giving and we discovered what giving is supposed to look like. It's not about getting credit. It's not about giving out of obligation. It's about our personal heart and finding the joy of giving and obeying God. And here's what we were supposed to walk away with last week. The moment your joy turns into obligation, you limit your own blessing. The moment your joy turns into obligation, you limit the blessings of God in your life. So that was the first pillar of the Christian walk and following Jesus that we talked about. Now, the second one that we get to move on to today is about prayer. And it's called Pray Like This. How many of you have ever gone to pray and you didn't know what to say? How many of you have ever gotten into a prayer closet or gone to pray and you're like, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Am I supposed to talk to God like this? Or am I supposed to pray with certain words? Am I supposed to do it in a certain form? And Amy has told me this for years, and I love this about her. She says, you know what? Help is an appropriate prayer. Yeah, the word help is a prayer in itself. When God all of a sudden shows up, when you go, help! Anybody ever been there? I was there many a night when we were trying to get Shelby to go to sleep when she was a baby. We stood over that crib. Y'all, listen, I have never been so sleep deprived as when my child was about two months old. And she would not sleep to save her life, okay? She didn't care about mom and dad. She wanted to drive us nuts. I think that she was planning this. And we stood over her bassinet after about 3 months when we had no sleep for 3 months. I'm serious. Bags on my eyes. I'm seeing pink elephants run through the room, having hallucinations. Over in the corner, you've got Abe Lincoln saying, "Pray over her, son," and all that kind of, I don't know why I went there. But the thing is, and we literally laid hands on my daughter and we prayed for her. And we didn't know what to say. We were crying. Say, "God, please, we just want to sleep. Please help her." And God hears that prayer. We didn't say some flowery prayer. "Oh, Lord, bless this child and let her take some time to rest in you." No, we were just saying, "God, put her to sleep. Knock her out." It didn't matter how we prayed or what we prayed, as long as we prayed. It was all about praying to Him and spending time with Him. This week, we're moving a little bit further into the scriptures, into the scriptures in Matthew 6, where He actually teaches them about prayer. And He says, pray like this. Matthew 6, 5, and 7, Jesus gives the same warning that He gave about giving. He gives the same warning. Don't do like the hypocrites. Don't do it like the hypocrites do. In other words, don't stand in public. And He went on to explain, don't stand in public where you're seen and where people see you and they notice that you're praying. And don't sit there and call out, "Oh, Lord, bless me today and honor me for praying to you the way that I'm supposed to." Because that's what they would do back then, the religious folks. See, I think that you could actually take, and this is not scripture, this is not something that you need to go home and say, "Well, Pastor Aaron said it, so it must be true." Okay, but I think you could take that word hypocrite and replace it with religious. Because that's what a hypocrite is. They're religious, but they don't have relationship. Are you with me? But He said, don't stand in public like they do, because they stand out there making sure that everyone sees that they pray, and they make sure that everyone sees that they're at church. They make sure that everyone sees they are a person of responsibility, and that they are a person of authority where they stand. Don't be like them. He also said, don't use a bunch of words and think that you have to have a long prayer in order to be heard. I thought I'd get a whole lot of amens on that one. Don't sit there and just start talking and continue talking. Some of y'all are sitting there going, "Pastor, you need to take your own advice on that." But listen, we see on occasion in the histories of the Bible where pagan religions would think that the longer they prayed, the closer to their God they were, and the more He would hear them. I know some people that way. They think that the longer they spend in prayer and the more they talk, the closer to God they become. It's not about the amount of time you spend. It's about the quality of time you spend. I could spend all day with my wife every day for 365 days in a row and never speak to her, and we would never be closer. I would spend time in her presence. I could sit there and talk about chit-chat and just whatever. But until I get into quality conversation with her, it's not going to matter. Are you with me? I know this seems very basic, but I think that we have lost the art of prayer. We've lost the purpose of prayer. We've lost the how-to of prayer. And Jesus gave us a very, very simple example of how to do this. Again, the pagans, they would do this for hours and hours. In 1 Kings 18, the prophets of Baal were having a showdown with Elijah on Mount Carmel. And they started early in the morning. They continued through to the afternoon. And it went on and on and on and on till the time of the evening sacrifice. And then Elijah took over. The entire time they were praying, Elijah was sitting there making fun of them, saying, "All right, hey, yell a little bit louder. Maybe he's gone on a trip. Maybe he's done this." Some pastors even, or some theologians even say that he sort of made fun of him and said, "Maybe he's in the bathroom," talking about Baal. And then Elijah got up and said his prayer, and all of a sudden the fire came down and consumed his sacrifice. They prayed for hours upon hours upon hours, cutting themselves with rocks and with metal and whatever they could find, and they never got any closer to their God. In Acts chapter 19, when Paul was in Ephesus, the crowd shouted for 2 hours, "Great is Diana, the of the Ephesians, praising their God." Yet she never answered. They never became close to her. Long prayers don't equal closeness. There have been certain pastors that I've sat under and worship leaders that thought that long services equaled a holy moment. Are you with me? Anybody been there? Where the pastor would continue and continue and continue. There was a certain service that we were at a Thanksgiving service years and years and years ago. Many, many moons ago, back when they wrote on scribe tablets and things. But we were in this service, and it was a community Thanksgiving service. And we were supposed to have Thanksgiving dinner afterwards. And y'all know, when we get together to eat, everybody shows up. All right, come on. When Christians hear there's food around, they show up, y'all. But the thing is, we had churches from all across the county came in, and we had probably 10 churches there, 5 to 10 churches there, and we had probably about 300, 400 people there, and we were getting ready to go and eat this Thanksgiving meal, and the guy got up, and he started preaching, and he started sharing. 20 minutes go by. Still going. 30 minutes go by. He's still going. He ain't even got to his first point yet. He's still giving just his testimony. And then 30 minutes go by, 40 minutes go by, 50 minutes go by. He's still preaching, still talking. And then he goes, "Now let me get to my message." Brother stood up there for almost 2 hours total. Ladies in the back going, "What the heck is he doing? We got food back here." And they didn't know how to get everything ready and all that. He left that service. And I remember hearing him go, "Man, that was an awesome service. I mean, we didn't get out till so-and-so time." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's because you didn't shut up." Right now, somebody's going, "You need to take your own advice again, Pastor." But listen. You want to guarantee a quick prayer now? You want to guarantee a quick prayer over the food? Ask me to pray. I'll tell you right now, I live by the motto. Oh, I live by a certain verse. I'll get to it in just a minute. But the thing is, you want to guarantee a quick prayer? Ask me to pray over that meal. Prayers don't have to be long to be heard or to be holy. You don't have to, if somebody asks you to pray for somebody in Walmart, and you don't have to, again, this goes back to don't be like the hypocrites. Somebody asks you to pray for them in Walmart, you ain't got to go, "Okay, everybody, I'm going to pray." And then spend 20 minutes laying hands on people as you walk down the aisle, okay? All right? Laying hands on somebody's corn pups and all that kind of stuff. "Lord Jesus, bless this food in the name of..." You ain't got to do all that. You know what you got to do? You can pull them aside and say, "Lord Jesus, I know they said they had problems with their back. In the name of Jesus, I know that you can touch this. And I pray for them right now that you would send complete healing in Jesus' name. Amen." 30-second prayer, 20-second prayer, and you're done. God hears you the same as if you spent 2 hours praying for that one need. I know there's times where we spend a little bit longer in prayer, and there is something about tarrying in prayer and spending time with God, but that's not for you. That's for Him to speak to us. I'm going to get there in just a minute. Are you with me? Listen, prayers don't have to be long to be heard or holy. Some people need to keep in mind Ecclesiastes 5:2. This is the verse I was talking about. "For God is in heaven and you are on earth, therefore let your words be few." We need to keep that in mind when it comes to prayer. We need to get. I have actively worked on trying to make sure that I get my sermons and my messages down to concise, where you get the meat of it, and you don't have to walk away going, "Man, that was a lot of stuff." And I want to make sure that you get exactly what you need when you walk out of this room. And that's the reason why I want to let my words be few. Jesus tells them in this message, in this Sermon on the Mount, He tells them in this message, don't just talk to talk. He uses the word in the Greek that you're not going to believe what it means. Bodologeo. Okay? I don't normally tell you the Greek word, but that's the Greek word, balageo. I believe that's how you say it. It actually means this, to babble, to say the same thing over and over. A more modern translation means this, blah, blah, blah. I guarantee you, somebody's going to come up and they're going to be smart. They're going to have a little sign. When I start going a little long one day, it's going to go blah, blah, blah. But that's what he said. Don't just blah, blah, blah and talk. Some people have a talent for talking for an extended amount of time without ever saying anything. Anybody know somebody like that? Don't point to them, okay? But Jesus then gives us a model for prayer. Again, this is basic stuff. This is things that we need to learn. If you were to learn, say, I am. He gives us a model for prayer. It's not a magic mantra or a word for word encounter with God. It's not something that we're supposed to say. If we say it right and we say it with the right inflection and we say it long enough and we say it loud enough and we say it proud enough, then God's going to show up. That's not what praying is about. And notice that it says, I haven't gotten there yet, but it's not a poem that sounds eloquent enough or is powerful so that it would call down fire from heaven. Elijah prayed a very short prayer before that fire fell. Jesus prayed a short prayer before raising Lazarus from the dead. And if that's all you need is a short prayer to raise somebody from the dead, come on, somebody. All we got to do is look at him, do like Jesus said, okay, Father, this I say this not for you, because you already know what you're going to do, but I say it for those around me. Bring life. And he looked and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And that's all he said. He didn't have to pray this big, long prayer. He'd have to do some big, giant ritual. He didn't have to go through all the steps that people say you have to go through in order to see a move of God. All he did was pray, Lord, this is for your glory. And he said, come and do it. Jesus' model is found in Matthew chapter 6, go ahead and bring that up, guys. Pray then like this. I love that first verse. Those first words, again, this is not about a mantra. It says, pray then like this. It does not say, pray then this. You get the difference? Because if it says, pray then like this, it says, use this model. You don't have to use these words, but you have to use this heart. Use the heart behind what I'm about to tell you, not the words itself. And then it goes on to talk about the Lord's Prayer. We all know our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. If you want to go with the King James, thy kingdom. But your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's pray. Father God, let your words be powerful and my words be few. In Jesus' name, amen. Within this model, say, I remember learning this in Royal Rangers. Anybody remember learning this when you were a kid? Royal Rangers, we had to earn badges. We had to earn badges, and one of the things we earned a badge for was learning the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread as we forgive those who trespass, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. For thine, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. I still remember it today. That shows you the importance of bringing your kids to children's church. That shows you the importance of having them here for discipleship on Wednesday nights. That shows you the importance of getting them involved in stuff like Bible quiz, which we have not done yet, but I would love to do, and getting them involved in things that would plant the seed of the word inside of the mind, because it's going to go with them throughout the years. I remember learning this, and I remember going through it, and I remember us having to say it over and over and over. And I remember as a kid, I used to think, well, if I say that, then everything's going to be okay. But then going back to that first verse, it says, pray like this. It's not about praying those words, but it's about praying with that kind of heart. Are you with me? And there's three things inside of this prayer that our prayers need to be full of. It teaches us it needs to be full of. The first thing is that we need to let our prayers be full of honor. Everybody say honor. We need to let our prayers be full of honor. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Our Father in heaven." Jesus told them to honor their relationship with God first and foremost in their prayers. How many times have we ever gone into our prayer closet and the first thing we say is, "God, I need you to do something." My kids have come up to me before and they would need something, especially money. Anybody witness on that one? They come up and they say, "Dad, I need $5. Dad, I need $20. Dad, I need $100. It kept going up throughout the years. So I don't know what happened, but it kept going up. "Dad, I need this." And how long have you known about this? "About 2 months." "Son, I ain't got it. Daughter, I ain't got it." And they would sit there and they would come. And the thing is, if they would have taken a little bit of time, "Hey, Dad, how you doing? You know, Dad, you're the most awesome dad." And if they ever did come like that, I usually was pretty suspicious of them. But the thing is, if they ever come to me with honor, I would be much more likely to give them what they needed at that moment. That's not our God, but we are supposed to honor him. See, Jesus told them to honor their relationship. This is the first time in Scripture where people are told to call God their Father. Did you realize that? That is the absolute first time. Earlier in the histories, in the Old Testament, it talks about God, the Father of the nation. But this is the Father of the individual. This is the first time that they had a personal relationship given to them. It was a personal thing with them. It was something where they could crawl up into their father, their spiritual father's lap and say, "Father, I love you. You are so wonderful. My Father in heaven, hallowed is your name." See, my relationship with my dad is pretty strong. I love my dad. I love my mom. I love them both. But my dad is, and I have a special relationship. If you look at him, you can tell I'm his son, because we look a whole lot alike. It's just I'm a little bit shorter and he's a little bit older. I'm going to go there. I had some other things run through my mind, but I had to filter. But the thing is, when he ran his restaurant, he had a Dairy Queen, and I would manage it for him. But when he started that restaurant, I was 15 years old. 15 years old, and I had the run of a Dairy Queen, y'all. I was in so much trouble, and I was such a fat kid. But the thing is, I got in there, and it took me a while to get used to the authority that my father had inside of that restaurant. It took me a little while to understand, hey, he owns this place, and I have the run of the place. I would stand outside of the counter, you know, that no-fly zone where you're not supposed to go past to go back where all the food is. I would stand on the other side of the register when I was 15 years old, not realizing, hey, my dad owns this place. I can go where I want, get what I want, do what I want. But the thing is, when I realized my relationship with my father, and when I honored my father, and I said, "Hey, Dad," and I would ask him, "Hey, do you want me to help you with this? Can I come and help you do this? Dad," and the thing is, I built that honor and that relationship with him. All of a sudden, I realized, hey, I have access to whatever I need. I can eat what I want, drink what I want. I can go get me an entire thing of peanut butter and just sit there and eat it if I want. And the thing is, my dad would probably let me. I could sit there and do whatever I wanted because of the authority that my father had and because of the honor that he had inside of that place. Listen, it took me a while to get used to that idea that I could go and do as I wanted. We need to understand that when we give honor to our father, what we are doing is we say, "Listen, we know that you own all things. You have all things. You provide all things. You are the one and only God. You are set apart." And the thing is, I love the fact that he said, as our Father. It's not a teaching to specific people. It's not for just people that wear the right clothes or do the right things or follow the right scriptures. It's for all people. Our Father And if you look through this entire prayer, it never singles out one person. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us, all of us. You know, when you're praying, you're not supposed to pray just for yourself. You're supposed to pray for others as well. It's not about what you get. It's about what we go to the Father with and honor Him with. It's about honoring Him and praising Him and lifting Him up. And notice that it doesn't start with our requests. It starts with honoring Him. It's a teaching for the entire nation. When we speak to God, we have permission to speak to Him boldly, but with humility because of our relationship with Him. Today we have that same right and privilege, but it's more so, even more so, because of the sacrifice that was given for us. In Hebrews 4:16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. We can walk directly to His feet, and we can lift our hands in praise to Him, that we may receive mercy and find grace and to help in time of need. Your relationship is what offers you grace and mercy, not your mantra or some big long prayer that you come up with. Are you with me? Everyone within the sound of my voice in this room is given the right to be called sons and daughters of God. And our prayers have to be full of honor for that relationship. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That word hallowed. See, we need to honor His holiness and His sovereignty. Recognize that He is set apart. We are not on the same level as Him. If my son came up to me and said, Dad, give me that, you know what I'd do? I'd slap him and run. Now, back then, I'd tell him no. And I'd sit him down and I'd make him wait. But if he came to me with honor, if he came to me and said, Dad, you're the leader of my house. You're the one that provides everything for me. Can I do this? Can I have this? You know what that makes my heart swell. That makes my heart grow, because he honored me in front of others and in front of other people. If you're with me, say I am. Recognize that he is set apart, different level than us. Hallowed means make holy. We need to make his name holy again, not just a cuss word. We need to make his name holy again and powerful again, not just something we say when we need something. Not something we use as a magic word or a magic eight ball to ask questions of. Psalm 34:1-3 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Can we do that right now? Lord, we exalt your name. We praise your name, and we make your name holy. In Jesus' name, can I encourage you, church, take time to praise God in the middle of your prayers. Take time to not ask him for something, not sit there and question why he's doing something, but just take time to say, you are God and I am not. You are powerful and I am your servant. See, that's what it's all about, is recognizing our place. Take time to recognize his authority. In Psalm 97:1-2, 1 and 2, it says, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. His throne, folks, that means he sits in a place of authority over all of these things. Elijah started his prayer in 1 Kings 18 by honoring God. He was going to get to the miracle that he needed, but he started by honoring God. In verse 36, he said, O Lord, God of Abraham. This is a little bit down in that, but that's good. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day. And notice he doesn't say, let it be known that I am your prophet. Let it be known that I am speaking truth. Let it be known that I do something. What he does, he says, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. He recognized his place by honoring God in his place. Let us honor God in his place. Our first priority is to put God where he belongs on the throne. Your kingdom, not mine. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. If you're with me, say I am. First thing is honor. Let our prayers be full of honor. The second thing is let our prayers be full of faith. Let our prayers be full of faith. Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. This is a different way of looking at this, and I want you to pay real close attention. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a simple request. Do you know when you give a request to God, you are automatically activating your faith? We've honored God. We've praised God. We've honored his authority and recognized his authority. And now we've gotten to the point in the scriptures where Jesus tells us, but it's okay to ask him. He already knows what you need, but when you vocalize it and speak it out, what you're doing is speaking in faith, knowing that he hears you and that he will answer you. That's what speaking aloud is supposed to do. That's the reason why I encourage the youth next door. Talk out loud. Because how many of you have ever asked a teenager to pray over something? And then next thing that you hear is this. Who, me? Oh, no, I can't do it. Why? Because they're nervous about talking to God. But when we speak out, we activate faith. When we speak words, we activate the word of God in our own personal lives. See, it's not about letting God hear our requests. It's about us understanding what we're asking for. God already knows what we need before we ever ask. Actually, it says that a little bit earlier in this chapter. We don't have to speak it for his benefit. We speak it out for our benefit and for those around us. We have to recognize that. It's a simple request that shows reliance and faith on who he is. Give us this day. I want you to pay attention to that word, this day, and then the words daily bread. This day and daily bread. He's not worried about the future. He's not worried about what's coming in the future. All he's saying is, talk to God about today. Because he's already got tomorrow figured out. Talk to him about your day today. Talk to him about what you need today. And trust and have faith that he'll take care of tomorrow. Are you with me? This day, provide for us in this moment. Give us this day, provide in this moment, our daily bread, what we will need to live a life that is pleasing and victorious, both physical and spiritual. It's talking about bread in the actual bread sense. Give us the food that we need, God. But he's also talking about give us the bread that we need spiritually that we can live for you. He's talking about both of those. When we go to God with this kind of prayer, we are actually walking out our faith in him believing that he has tomorrow in his hands. Do I pray for the future? Yes, I pray for my kids for their future. I pray for the future of Calvary Temple. But I leave that in God's hands. And I say, but God, today, give me what I need to lead well. Today, give me what I need to live well. Give me what I need to follow you well. Make today the priority, not tomorrow. Our flesh is constant, or I almost skipped up a ways. When we go to him daily with needs, not concerned about what tomorrow holds, we are fulfilling scripture and exercising our faith in his ability, his sovereignty, and his goodness. Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We live in the moment knowing God is in control. Give us this day our daily bread because you're in control of it all anyway. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it or put on. It is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father, there's that relationship again. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Because of your relationship with Him. Because of your faith in Him. When we exercise our faith in God, we need to exercise it presenting our needs to Him. Not for His knowledge, but for ours. If you're with me, say I am. The last thing that I want to speak to you on is we need to be full of honor. Our prayers need to be full of honor. Our prayers need to be full of faith. And our prayers need to be full of forgiveness. Now here is the rub. Full of forgiveness. Everybody say forgiveness. I speak on forgiveness a lot. You know why? Because I've been forgiven a lot in my life. This is probably, and every pastor probably has certain subjects that they hit a lot. I do forgiveness a lot. And I'll admit it, I speak about letting go of your past a lot because those are issues that I guess I've dealt with in my past. But I think it's a common thing that we all deal with. When Jesus said this, he was teaching us another lesson. The last thing Jesus mentions in this prayer is forgiveness, but it's so important that he gives an explanation after the Lord's Prayer. That tells me that this is probably one of the most important parts of this prayer. Yet we forget to come to him and to be full of forgiveness, whether we are asking for it or giving it. Doesn't matter. Verses 12 and 13, and forgive us our debts. If you want to know why he uses debts, for the wages of sin is death. It's found in Romans. That's not the reason why he used it, but that's the reason why we have that verse. It's because sin creates a debt between us and God that can only be paid with blood. And can only be paid with sacrifice. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us for the things that we've done to create space between us. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. See, we're great at that very first part, but we really are not good at forgiving our debtors. We're like the man who was forgiven a great sum of money in the Bible from the ruler. He was forgiven this great sum. And he was begging, saying, "Listen, I don't have the money to pay." And the person he owed the money to had mercy on him and said, "Okay, it's forgiven. Go your way." And what he did was he walked out the door, found someone that owed him. It's like the difference of owing $2 million, and he found somebody that owed him $200. And he beat him and had him thrown into jail and was all over him saying, "You give me what I owe," or "what you owe me." And see, we're sort of like that. We want God to forgive us of everything that we've ever done, but then we look at other people and we say, "But I'm going to hold this against you." Our prayer is supposed to be full of forgiveness, not just for us, but for others. Are you with me? Here's that theme of forgiving the past. We rarely put these two verses together, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We think those are two separate things, but they're actually connected. The reason why is because Jesus goes from speaking about forgiveness to staying on forgiveness after the prayer. That means that these two things are connected. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's very tempting to hang on to the past. It's very tempting to hang on to what other people have done. It's very tempting to hold on to it so that you don't forget. If I forget it, though, then it's sort of giving them permission to do it. No, it's not. What it's doing is when you forgive it, you're giving yourself permission to heal. It's about letting go of it's about stopping picking at a scab on your hand so that some healing can start to happen. I don't know what you've been picking at, but God does not, and that word temptation, lead us not into temptation. That word temptation actually does not, because the Bible says in James that God does not lead anyone into sin. So God is not going to put, for me, okay? Y'all know it had to make its way in here sometime. For me, sin can be represented by a powdered donut. God is not going to put a stack of powdered donuts on a plate and put it in front of me and say, okay, now don't touch it. That's not how God works. It's not about, Lord, don't lead me to that temptation. Don't put that in front of me. But deliver us. See, that word temptation means trials. It doesn't mean tempted to sin. And when it says, don't lead me to temptation, don't lead me to that trial underneath the forgiveness. In other words, don't lead me to a bitter place just to leave me there, but deliver me from evil. But deliver me. I know I may have to walk through that trial, but deliver me on the other side so that I can forgive those that have hurt me. Are you with me today? Stand with me today. There's rarely a day goes by that we should not take advantage of asking God for forgiveness. Can I tell you, I ask God to forgive me of something every single day. Sometimes it's my attitude. Sometimes it's the way I treat my wife, the way I treat my kids. Sometimes it's my neglect of certain duties. Sometimes it's of thought patterns that try to creep back into my life. Sometimes I just go, God, I don't know if I did anything wrong today, but forgive me anyway. And what I did mess up, fix for me. Forgive me for those things. But forgive others that have done me wrong or well. Even if I don't even notice, or even if they don't notice, forgive them, God. Our flesh constantly pushes and pulls against the Spirit of God. And unfortunately, we're going to need forgiveness every day of our life. Nobody in this room has reached the holiness point to where you don't have to ask God for forgiveness. If you have, please float on over to me and introduce yourself at the end of the service. Because I want to meet you. The good thing is this: His forgiveness and His mercy are never ending. I'm going to take you way back. Lamentation says the steadfast love, oh my Lord, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. But I want you to remember this. Immediately after that verse, he revisits forgiveness again. Verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father. He's still got a relationship with you, even when you don't do right. Neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Jesus shares that forgiveness is not an option we can choose or leave the box unchecked in our life. Last thing I'm going to say is this, and then we're going to pray. Because I believe that there's some areas we need to pray about today. The only limiter of mercy and grace in your life is your personal ability to forgive others. You can stop God from forgiving you. That sounds like heresy. It sounds horrible. And it sounds like it's giving you too much power. But right there it says, if you choose not to forgive others, then neither will God forgive you. You decide where the limit is in your life, where the mercies run out, and where His grace ceases to abide. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your situation is. And again, this has been a message about how to pray. Pray like this. Pray like this. If you're not praying on a regular basis and spending at least some time with God, then you need to start doing that. Honor God at the beginning of your prayers. Honor your relationship. Honor His authority. Honor His place. And then ask Him for things. Ask Him for the things that, not that you want, but that you need. And present your request to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. But then, always, always, finish with forgiveness for yourself and for others. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room today, and maybe today you're just going, you know what? I need that prayer time. I need that time with God, and I need to honor Him more. I need to honor Him. I need to have faith in who He is, and I need to present those requests to Him because I need to show Him I trust Him, because I've been trying to do it on my own. I've been asking Him for my daily bread. I've been trying to make it on my own. And maybe you're holding on to the past. Right now, if that's you, then right now I invite you, don't raise your hand or anything. I want you to come to the front. I just want to ask anyone that would to come to the front and say, God, we want to spend a moment with You. And I just want you to come and do the first part of that with me today and just honor Him. If that's you, come right now. Lord Jesus, we honor You.
The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place.
Come on, church.
Come, Holy Spirit, drive wounds away.
If you're just hungry for His presence, if Lord you just want to spend some time with place. Him, if you just want to honor that Lord relationship with Him, place. Come and spend
not
time with Him this morning.
Not for a minute was I forsaken. Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Come Holy Spirit.
Lord Jesus, we want to spend time with you today. We want to honor
Lord
who you
is in
are.
This place.
We want to honor who you
Lord
are, God.
Lord is in this place.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Let us honor you today, Lord. Not with
not
words.
Not enough.
Of flowery words or $5 words. But God, let us honor you with a heart that seeks after you. A heart that knows
again.
You. A heart that wants to know you in fullness of your glory, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, renewed vision, renewed heart, renewed position, renewed relationship, God.
Will you be here again?
Hallelujah,
not
Jesus.
Enough. I'm not enough unless you come. Will you be here again? Because all I want. Is all you are. Will you meet me here again?
Can we sing that and put that on the screens? Come on, sing it again.
I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is all you are.
One more time.
I'm not enough unless you come.
Come and meet me.
Will you meet me here again?
Because all I want.
Because all I
is
want.
Is all you are, God.
Is all you are. Will you meet me here again?
Hallelujah, Jesus. Pray like this. God, today we have honored you. We honor our relationship. We honor your authority. And we honor your sovereignty. Now, Lord, we ask you to come and meet our needs, our daily needs. Meet our needs for today. And Lord, forgive us. Forgive us what we have done against you. But also, Lord, let us forgive others so that your grace may abound in us. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.